It's Robbie and Rex Road with Robbie Stanley and Joe Rex Road on Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
1025 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
And welcome in to the Monday edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroad, Max Herz, intern Nick here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Michelle Knezovic out until Thursday this week. So Max Herz riding with us here the next few days. Max, what's going on? How are we doing?
Morning, boys.
Joe?
Happy to be here.
Happy to have you here, Max.
So if Max is here, you ask him first how he's doing?
Well, I was talking about him.
Michelle first.
I was talking about him, so I went to him. That's what I did.
It's like changing up.
Yeah.
But you didn't throw the change up yesterday. You threw the fastball.
I threw the fastball yesterday. Not the best first pitch from Robbie Stanley yesterday. Definitely a ball. Last year, I was pretty sure I threw a strike. This one was a ball.
You got video of this?
Yeah, I'm sure it's somewhere. My wife's got one.
Okay.
But it's a ball. High and inside.
Okay, so high and inside to...
To a
right-handed bat.
Yeah.
All right. So you're brushing them off a little bit. That's okay.
Yeah. Sending a message, as they say.
Yep. Back off the plate, man.
It must have intimidated every hitter there because wasn't a whole lot of action going on yesterday until about the sixth or seventh inning in that game. And the Sounds trailing 3-0. Come back to win 4-3. Big day yesterday.
Nice. And you saw Baby Vingan.
It was a huge day. Gave him the ball. To commemorate his first baseball game, it was good stuff.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool you gave him the ball.
Yeah. I'm a good guy. Self-proclaimed.
And Baby Vingan enjoyed the baseball?
He did.
Good.
Scottie Scheffler winning the Masters over the weekend. He was pretty much in the lead the whole time, all weekend long. I thought maybe for a second yesterday that Rory McIlroy could put some pressure on him, but Scottie Scheffler, number one player in the world, gets it done, wins his first green jacket. Tiger fell apart a little bit over the weekend, as we knew was a possibility. Played really well on Thursday, less well on Friday, and then Saturday and Sunday shot a 78 on both those days. So I think he finished plus 13 with the tournament, but, man, it was just good to see him back out there playing golf.
Yeah. I mean, I saw something where, like, he was, like, having to compensate and, like, leaning, certainly when he's putting, you know. I mean,
Yeah.
That's a lot to ask him to walk that course 4 days, given everything and just the way he's described it. So this was it was kind of a gimme, you know.
It was
kind of a gimme.
I allowed myself to be talked into in weekend winners. He could finish in the top 15, and that was a mistake. I knew it was a mistake as soon as I did it, but I'd already done it at that point.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's okay sometimes to bet with your heart, especially when you're not actually betting money.
That's correct.
A lot of people, I think, did lose a lot of money on Tiger Woods.
I think it was probably a good weekend for the sports books, yeah, would be my guess.
Tiger Woods being a mortal helped Vegas a lot this weekend.
I would say that it did. We'll take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Interesting weekend for the Nashville Predators. They fall 4-1 on Saturday at home against the Florida Panthers in a game that it's basically a 2-1 game. There wasn't a ton going on really for either side, I didn't think, in that game until late. And then Florida adds two empty netters. They win 4-1. Yesterday you go to Pittsburgh. You're up 2-1 in the third period. Pittsburgh ties it back at 2, and then Crosby with the game winner in overtime. So 1 out of 4 points on the weekend. Dallas wins again last night after dropping a bad one on Saturday against the Devils. And you look at the standings right now in the Western Conference with the point yesterday. Turns out to be a pretty valuable point. You're still 1 point ahead of the Stars with the same amount of games played. You're at 87. Stars are at 86. Vegas at 84. And now only one game in hand on the Vegas Golden Knights as well. So not a great weekend for the Predators. But having said that, pretty good to get that point yesterday because that could end up being a pretty big difference maker for you.
Yeah, it's a good point. Although when you take the lead in the third, you know, you feel like you got a chance to get two.
Yep.
But right there on the fringe, it's 10 games, and it's going to be it's going to come down to the very end. Realistically, I thought Saturday was not a great performance, and I think John Hines clearly didn't think so. But
he was not happy after that game.
He wasn't happy. And his, I think part of his point was, you know, that team's on a back to second game of back to back coming here. And it didn't, you know, the Preds didn't carry the play enough to his liking. But man, they had some opportunities that they just didn't cash in. I mean, you also just have to, like, you got to bury some chances, including the Yossi play.
Yeah.
The much discussed Yossi play.
Yes.
Tap in. Eh, maybe not quite that. But he would probably love another crack at that.
Well, Forsberg had three or four or five really good looks the other day. I mean, he ripped the puck away from, I forget who it was on Florida. Had a breakaway. Spencer Knight came up big. Had a couple in tight looks on Spencer Knight and just didn't go. And, you know, he hadn't scored since the Buffalo game, I don't think, which is not really that long ago. But when he goes through like three games without scoring, you're like, oh, okay. What's going on with Philip Forsberg? He looked really good, I thought, Saturday. Didn't score.
Might not have the record when it's all said and done. Might be Matt Duchene.
Tied at 38. That's a great goal yesterday by Duchene, by the way. Yeah. First off, the pass from Granlund, but just kind of cut around the edge, go into the zone there, create room for yourself, and then nice little backhand to forehand move. Good stuff from Matt Duchene. I couldn't believe, like, the Mark Borowiecki play yesterday with Malkin, where Malkin just cross-checks him right in the jaw. Like, first off, that's like the definition of a major penalty. Like,
no
that's,
doubt.
That's a cross-check to the face directly in front of the official. Somehow throughout this whole thing, and I'm still searching for it, and granted, like, the TV camera, like, camera angle didn't switch over there until as it was going on, but I'm still searching for, like, the Mark Borowiecki slash. Like, I haven't found it yet. And he got 2 minutes on that play. Malkin gets a double minor for cross-checking.
Well, I thought
and then Mark Borowiecki didn't return the game after that.
Yeah. Wow, the blood was immediately. Yeah. I guess there was a little slash right before he did it.
If that's what they call
it. That's what I assumed.
I guess. I mean, it was more like his hands.
Yeah, it was like, get off
yeah,
me. But
like, if that's what they know. Called, my goodness. But I guess that is what they called.
I think it is, and it's probably a little to do with Borowiecki's, you know, reputation or whatever, but my God.
Could also have to do with who was on the receiving end of it.
That could be, too. You may have some.
Look, I've always tried to steer clear of the refs love the Pittsburgh Penguins stuff of this because I think that gets way too overblown, and I know that Tortorella's gone nuts about that before, and coaches around the league, if you gave them a truth serum, over half the coaches would tell you that Pittsburgh gets calls because they just complain about it all the time in the media, and I don't subscribe to that theory necessarily. But this weekend with Crosby just punching a guy in the face against Washington and then Malkin yesterday, I'm like, what are we doing here? Like, you can't just allow them to get away with everything. That's a major penalty for Malkin yesterday. And he should be suspended. He probably won't be because it's the NHL, but he should be suspended for that. You can't just cross-check a guy right in the mouth.
Your thoughts, Max Herz? Don't drift back there, man. You know, you can be called in from the bullpen anytime, Pittsburgh guy.
Malkin's been doing dumb stuff like that his entire career, honestly. As great as his career has been, he's been taking dumb penalties since day one when he came over in 2006. And the worst part about this one was the period was over.
Yeah.
There's nothing that could have been accomplished there.
Yeah.
I was expecting you to stand up for the Pittsburgh Penguins, but good comments.
good comments. Well done, Max. I don't know. It was just, again, that has really nothing to do with the result of the game yesterday, but just a quick sidebar there because I know Pret's Twitter was fired up about that one. Crosby, you know, can't let that guy get loose. The first goal, he kind of gets lost in coverage there, and then yesterday in overtime, it's just kind of a scramble play, and, you know, the net was wide open. Nice redirection from Crosby on that play. He's pretty good. Point number 1,400.
He's pretty good. Well, and he created the equalizer, too, in the third, really. Yep. So, 1,400 points. That's not bad. That's a decent
that's not bad.
Stretch in the league.
So that sets up a pretty big week for the Predators when you factor in. You've got San Jose coming in tomorrow. That's a game that you need to have if you're the Predators. Really, I know Edmonton has been very, very good as of late. That's a big one coming up on Thursday. And then Chicago on Saturday, St. Louis on Sunday. So, I mean, you're in the stretch right now where every game is going to be massive, even if it is the San Jose game coming up on Tuesday. Like, you got to win. But these next three games, I think you need to have three wins. You certainly need to have two wins in these next three games with San Jose and Chicago on the schedule coming up.
Well, if you want to go by the week, think you said, I agree, you know, try to get 6 of 8 last week. They got 5. So if you look at it that way, I'd say 6 of 8, right?
Yeah.
Is that asking too much? It's a mixed bag of
– I think you might need 6 of 8.
Yeah, I mean, it's a mixed bag of two good teams who are going to be in the playoffs who are fighting for positioning, and then two teams playing out the string that have been way too problematic for you this year.
Yeah, they have been. And this is a chance where, I mean, if you're the Predators, you got to win. You have to win against San Jose and Chicago. Like, you can't let those quote-unquote free points pass you by anymore throughout the rest of the season, because quite frankly, I mean, you really don't have many more free points. You've got San Jose, Chicago, and then that Arizona game that is looking increasingly like it could matter coming down the stretch if you're the Predators. Those are your three teams left on the schedule that are not good. You've got Edmonton, you've got St. Louis, Calgary twice, Minnesota once, Colorado once. Some good teams coming up down the stretch.
I mean, look, it's 10 games, 7 of the last 10 at home, plus a trip to Arizona. Like,
yeah.
You're need in position here to get in the playoffs.
Yeah. Like, you need to collect some of these points, and that starts coming up tomorrow against San Jose. We're off and running here today on Robbie and Rex Road. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll continue the conversation on the Predators and get to what may be really concerning about this team as they move forward into the future. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Now down the middle, Matheson. Matheson with the move. Stopped there by Riddick. Huge stop there. Now they try to bring it out in front as Crosby's pass over to Raquel, and Crosby tips in the game winner. Crosby's second goal of the game, is 28th of the year, as the Penguins take this one 3-2.
Pittsburgh wins yesterday in overtime. Sidney Crosby with the game winner, and the Preds fall 3-2 against Pittsburgh. They collect 1 out of 4 points over the weekend against Florida and Pittsburgh. So a tough back-to-back for the Predators against two very good teams in the Eastern Conference, and they now reset. They come back home, taking on San Jose coming up tomorrow. Puck drop at 7 o'clock, pregame at 6 o'clock here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroad, Max Herz, intern Nick here with you on this Monday morning. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. So, Joe, it's interesting. We've had, I think, very brief versions of this conversation before today's show. And I was talking with this about with Darren at, in the pregame on Saturday against Florida of, all right, look around at the standings. I still feel good about the Predators making the playoffs. I felt better about that before I did this weekend about the Predators making the playoffs. But you look around, and Matt Duchene is lighting it up. He's got a career year. Roman Josi, Philip Forsberg, Tanner Janot. You can go up and down the list of guys that are playing either their career best or close to it. I mean, I don't know that I would necessarily say that this is the best that Ryan Johansson has ever played in his career, but it's pretty good. I mean, it's near there, at least. So there's a lot that you can go up and down the lineup and identify of, man, that guy's playing the best he's ever played. UC Saros, this is his first full season as a starter in an 82-game season. He's been very good for the most part. So there's a lot that's going right for this team. And I think if you would have told Predators fans before the season, hey, Philip Forsberg and Matt Duchene are going to end up around 40 goals. Roman Josi is going to end up around 95, 96, maybe 100 points. We'll see what happens. UC Saros is going to have a .920 save percentage. Where's this team finish? I think most fans would have said, oh, man. Well, they're definitely in the playoffs. Could they challenge Colorado for the division? That's probably would have been my reaction if I would have heard those numbers heading into the season. Those things have happened, and the Predators are in the first wild card spot. And they're holding on to that lead right now by 1 point over Dallas, and they're in the playoffs by a 3-point margin right now. How concerning is that to you that this team, in a lot of ways, from individual production, has gotten just about the most out of it they can probably get, and they're barely in the playoffs, and realistically still, even though I wouldn't pick it, may not make it coming down the stretch?
I just so happened to write a column about this for TheAthletic.com. And yeah, that's it. That's kind of what I was, it's like, so if, if you, let's take these little factoids and condense them and say, here's this, this, this. Yossi's career year, Duchesne's career year, incredible power play. Like you said, Johansson having a great year. Tanner Jeannot, you know, is right there for, you know, for rookie of the year. I mean, you can have a nice chunky paragraph about this team and leave out. And like you said, Soros, those are fine. Those numbers are just fine. What, 255 and a 920? Sure. And I don't know if I'm guessing that they're the one seed, but certainly that they're easily in and probably in really good shape to at least have home ice in the first round of the playoffs. But that's not the case, as we know. And it is kind of – I can't really come up with great answers. The we've talked about secondary scoring. That's certainly part of it. I think some of it is just weird losses. It's just too many weird losses. So yesterday on Twitter, someone – and I see, I should have counted them up too. Someone said it was 8. Now, I don't know. I don't know exactly what your cut line is. Basically, just like teams that are out of the playoffs. But that sounds, I guess, about right. Like 8 losses, and of course, you're not going to win all 8 of those games. You're going to lose some bad games. You're gonna, but they've won some good ones too. They've beaten a lot of good teams this year. But what if you just had like 5 losses like that? You know, then it'd be a different situation. So that's part of it. Someone did mention, you know, the power play is so good that it skews a little bit like what these guys are 5-on-5, which I think is probably a fair point, right? They've done so much damage on the power play, which is, again, is like, imagine that.
Yeah.
Thinking
that.
Yeah, I
didn't even mention that heading in. Like, their power play has been top 10 all year.
Right. Yeah, they're number 6, 25%. So, again, you're like, oh, my gosh. But I guess the fact that that's been so good, 5-on-5, it still hasn't been as consistent as you'd like. Although they've been pretty good with the big boys. It's weird. There's not a great explanation for it.
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking about this with Darren the other day, and I do think some of it is, you know, regardless of who has been on the second line for the most part this year, it's been tough to come by some scoring, and I know that they've split up Forsberg and Duchesne now, and now I guess Duchesne is technically on the second line. Although, I mean, you scored 3 goals over the weekend, so I don't know how long that's going to last. But, you know, I think that's part of it. Like, if it's crazy to say, but like if Tolvanen could have been a little bit better, or Cunning was a little bit better this year, and I know we're talking about this in the face of everybody else having career years, so not everybody's going to have a career year at the same time. But if they could have given you a little bit more, maybe that makes a difference in a couple of wins coming down the stretch. I do think there have been some weird losses where, you know, they just got – I thought the Buffalo game a couple weeks ago was bad. Like, I thought it was really bad. Like, they've had a few of those this year. But to your point, you're going to have some of those throughout the stretch of a season, regardless of who you are. Like, you know, Tampa, Florida, take your pick. They've had some bad losses coming up down the stretch. So, I don't know. It's interesting because – if you're David Poile and if you're the Predators, you're trying to also forecast what this could mean as you move into the future too. Not even like this year aside, whatever you do in the playoffs, if you make the playoffs, you know, how much damage can this team do? I don't know. But starting to look at next year and into the future, are you going to get the same production out of Duchesne, Forsberg, Yossi, and Johansson all at the same time like this ever again? Maybe. But I kind of have my doubts. Like, that's a pretty high bar, what they've established this year. And if you get this production and you don't make the playoffs, like if they come down in the next 10 games and they don't make the playoffs with this level of production, to me that's pretty concerning about this team as they move forward. Because it's like, okay, you can't really ask for much more out of Yossi and Duchesne and Forsberg and Johansson than you got this year, and it still wasn't good enough to make the playoffs. What does that tell you about this team?
Imagine if they don't make the playoffs and then lose Forsberg.
Yeah.
It'll be fun around here.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. No, I think you're right. You can't count on it to this level. I don't know that I'd count on it completely falling off.
No.
But you got to have more around that. So that's, and this is another great example, too, of trying to, you know, look at a team going into a season and thinking, you know, thinking you have an idea of like the parameters and what's going to matter and what's going to count. I mean, I know that I thought for sure Duchesne and Johansson, it's what it's all about them. Like, are they going to respond? Are they going to come on, how many times do we talk about their contracts? Are they gonna play up to their contracts? Yeah, they have like and then some this year. And here we are. Right there on the fringe of making the playoffs. With Yossi having a a Hall of Fame season. It's pretty wild.
Well, and the goaltending's been good. I know Saros, the numbers have not been as good since the All-Star break. So there is that. And he was so good in the first half of the season. We were talking about Vezina was on the table.
Like this year he's going to be a finalist.
This year he's going to be a finalist, and I just don't think he is right now as they look at it. So it has fallen off from Saros a little bit. And I think there have been times where defensively it's not been great. But, again, you're not going to be perfect throughout the course of a season. I mean, the one thing I said to Darren on Saturday that I have no proof that this affects them beyond just the penalty kill numbers, but they do take a ton of penalties. And I think that
well, – the number one team, penalized team in the league. That's certainly part
of it. That takes you – regardless of whether or not you get scored on, I mean, if you're killing five penalties a game, I mean, it just takes you out of your rhythm, and it's
that
not
hurts
good.
Your 5-on-5,
yeah,
prospects by having to kill penalties.
So I'm not sitting here saying that that's why they've been as inconsistent, and that's the reason. But it's just when I was coming up of things that stand out as to how they could possibly be this good individually and be on the fridge like this, that was the one thing that I really came back to. Because other than that, I can't really explain it. Yeah. Like it's weird.
I think that's certainly a big part of it. Too many weird losses. Like there's a few too many that could be, you know, take 4 to 6 points right now. You're fine.
Feeling good.
The penalties, the secondary scoring, trying to get that second line together. And yeah, I mean I do buy into a little bit of like the power play is so good that we are a little bit overstating. Not that power play goals don't count, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Like the 5-on-5 hasn't been as good as the overall numbers suggest. I do want to give credit, by the way. It was Chris Brooks who mentioned eight teams. Chris Brooks, sports writer, who is the very interesting combination of Preds, Vols, Mariners, and Detroit Lions.
I know he's a Lions guy. God bless him.
Yeah, bless you, Chris.
Hope bless you enjoy Hard Knocks later this year.
Looking forward to that.
Yes. As are we all. Garland on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, Preds need to put Johansson, Duchesne, and Forsberg back together. In those games together, they were just dominating and scoring. Since apart, it's not so good. Tomasino is going to be good, but he's not a first-line player yet. This coming from Garland on the text line. Look, I think when they were first put together, I think they were dominating and scoring. 5-on-5, it had dried up a little bit for Forsberg, Johansson, and Duchesne. Now, having said that, they've broken them up, and they scored 3 goals over the weekend. They scored 1 against Florida and 2 yesterday against Pittsburgh. So is that because they've taken those 3 away from each other? Which, by the way, they did put them together at times throughout both games, especially when they were trailing against Florida. They were together. But do you go back to that and just try to mix and match it the best way you can on the second line again? Like, that's the problem, and that's why back near the trade deadline I said you need to go find somebody to play on the second line because this was going to be a problem coming down the stretch, and now it's a problem down the stretch.
They did get Jeremy Lozon.
They did do that, which I thought he was pretty good on Saturday.
I mean, I like his I did too. He gets after it.
He'll
lay the body.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Predators on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Are you concerned that so many Predators have had career seasons, and yet they're on the playoff fringe? We'll get your thoughts next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Stop by Social Furniture at 5412 Charlotte Avenue in Nashville and enter for a chance to win a pair of tickets to see the Preds take on the Chicago Blackhawks at Bridgestone Arena coming up on Saturday. Also, don't forget to check out their new sofas while you're there. You must be 18 or older to enter the contest. No purchase necessary. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
That's a new one. What is that one? It's not a mute. I was trying to talk to Max, and I just barged into you, what you were saying.
You could look, this is your show, too. Yeah, you can do whatever you want.
That's probably not a good idea, though. I'll blame Max. Quit trying to talk to me, Max. I'm trying to do a show here, buddy.
Bad producing. I get 4 minutes, but you get two for your role in the altercation.
Max, be quiet.
Be quiet.
James texting in on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Season in a microcosm. Roman Josi having a Hall of Fame season for a defenseman and may not even win the Norris Trophy. It's coming from James. So I guess factoring in that and all these people having great success individually. And look, I still think the Predators are going to make the playoffs. I do. But it's close. Like, it's going to come down.
It's too close.
It's too close based on the production that they have.
I also think Josi's going to win the Norris. Based on, I mean, what was the game? What was on yesterday? What was the game? Caps, whatever the game was before the, what's that?
Caps.
Yeah,
Bruins?
Thank you. Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're talking about Josi for Norris on that broadcast. I mean, the conversation has shifted pretty heavily to Josi winning that.
Agreed.
Now, I will say, if they don't make the playoffs, that might actually be the thing that keeps him from winning the Norris.
That's gonna be tough.
But if they get in, I think the league perception is that you can tip your cap to Roman Josi, and certainly if he gets 100 points, although the weekend didn't help him on the pace there much.
It did not. Now, you got San Jose. You could roll off 4 or 5 in that one. But we'll see.
Yeah, get 5 to 7 points, Roman.
Yeah, Roman, if you can handle that, no pressure. Max, what do you think about all this? Obviously, you're around the team. You're covering the team for the radio station here and for the Predators radio network in the pre and post game. What do you make of the idea that so many guys have been this good individually and they're in a playoff spot right now, but they are holding on by a thread at the moment?
I think I actually have the most positive response to this possible. When they decided what they were going to do this year, that they weren't going to sell off pieces, just kind of move some pieces around to change the team up, but stay with that same main core. I think this is exactly what you hoped for, right? To get the most out of everybody who you decided to keep and get in the playoffs and see what happens. And I think especially if they end up in the first wild card and can get into that Pacific bracket, I think they could win a couple rounds. I really do. And I mean, this is from a fan perspective, or really any perspective that isn't the person signing checks, you want the team to try to win every year forever, right?
Sure.
And that's exactly what they're doing.
Yeah. No, they are. And it's impressive to watch. It's interesting to try to figure out what this means if you're David Poile. Like, you're going to have some cap space this summer.
If Forsberg doesn't sign,
you're going to have a ton of cap space this summer. But even if he does sign, you're going to have some cap space that you can work with this offseason. Like, it's interesting. Let's just say, for the sake of this argument, Forsberg's back, and he's back with the team. He's coming off of 42, 43 goals. Duchesne's got 42, 43 goals. You know, Johansson's around 60, 65 points this year. And you are the last team to make the playoffs. Let's say they end up in the second wild card, then they're out in the first round. How do you kind of view that as you move forward? How do you base your decision-making in terms of how close you are if you're David Poile at that point?
Yeah, it's a great question, because David Poile and any hockey people will say, hey, just get in. But you still have to judge how you perform relative to the rest of the league. And so if you're – there's a big difference between – like what the Preds were, say, in 17-18, coming off a kind of surprise playoff run, and this overall performance where you're fighting to get in the playoffs. Like you said, I mean, I think you have to look at it, one, how many more years of this from Duchesne are you going to get? I mean, Josi, they're both 31, but that's still, that should still give you some good years. I mean, you've got some good young players. I mean, I think Tomasino, it's been a promising year. Carrier.
Yeah.
Very good player. There's some good pieces in place, but it's just and I know some Preds fans are like still screaming, blow this up. It just isn't good enough. But again, if you want to blow this up, you could really be in a situation like what Max just – the opposite of what Max described, yes, which is not even being competitive for a while. Do you want that?
Well, with no guarantee that you're – that's what we were talking about last year when – you wanted to go through the rebuild. And I'm not saying that there's never a good time to go through a rebuild.
Yeah.
Because it clearly can work.
It looked to me like it was necessary before they started to flip it around last
and
year.
To their credit, they turned things around and ever since then have been very competitive. They've been competitive all year long this year. So there's a lot that you feel good about. I know this personally. I feel way better about this team right now than I did heading into the season. Like, I think there are some really good pieces that they have in place. But I said this then, and I'll say it again now. Like, the rebuild always sounds good, and it's something that, two, 3 years down the road, they'll be back and they'll be better than ever, and they'll be ready to compete for a cup. Or then you can turn into the Buffalo Sabres, who are rebuilding every year and are never in the playoffs and are never competing for a cup. Like, it's – or the Detroit Red Wings, who are never in the playoffs anymore.
I was just going to bring them up.
And never.
They're getting better.
They are getting better. They're better this year, but
they're pretty bad.
They're better is going to be not in the playoffs again this year. I mean, it's a tough road to go down once you get there. It's a tough road to get out of.
The rebuild's great if you can get a generational player somewhere in
Connor McDavid's there. Rebuild looks pretty good.
And even then,
they've struggled.
Yeah. I mean, it's – there's no easy answer there. Obviously, I think the Forsberg outcome is a big thing that's going to point them one way or the other.
Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, again, Poile, the way he has proceeded, the way he did this year, the way he's talked about this, I think he finds value in getting in any way you can get in and seeing what you can do. Whereas I understand some fans are like, yeah, but this team just isn't built to win the thing. I want a team that can win the thing. And then there's always examples in the Stanley Cup playoffs of teams that make runs don't appear to be built to go that far like the Canadiens last year, and they still do.
It's interesting because, like, if you go down the checklist of, like, things you need to win a Stanley Cup, what do we always say? Well, you need a really good goaltender, okay? You need at least one, probably two guys on the back end who are – elite players. You certainly have one. I would make the argument you have two because I think Ekholm is elite defensively. Now, I know some people don't agree that he's an elite defenseman, but defensively I think he is. So you got that. You need some wingers that can score 30 goal scorers. Well, you got a couple of those this year.
You're going to have two 40 goal scorers this year.
And do the Predators have like the centerman that is your dynamic playmaker? No. Like, I think Johansson's good. I think Granlund's good, but neither one of those guys are, you know.
Yeah, they're not top shelf.
Matthew floating around out there. So, yes, on the checklist of things you need, you're probably a little bit short there, but there's a lot about this team this year that if you would go by the traditional way to win a Stanley Cup, like, they've got some of those pieces. And that goes back to the conversation we've been having all hour long of, okay, how do you have so many of those pieces and you're a fringe playoff team right now? And, by the way, a fringe playoff team that really hasn't had much injury problems to deal with. I mean, they've had some injuries on the back end for, you know, Borowiecki's been in and out. Benning's been hurt. You know,
Forsberg real early
got hurt.
Their forwards have been in great shape.
They've been pretty healthy this year. That's the other
McCarron,
part of this.
They actually do miss McCarron.
They do. But that's the other part of this. Like, it's not like they've had some, you know, tough string of injuries. Like, last year, some of these guys are playing right now for the Predators because they didn't have any choice last year, and then they feel like, oh, some of these guys are pretty good. Like, that's why some of these guys are on the team right now. The injuries have been pretty good. Like, they've been pretty lucky that way this year.
No, it really doesn't. It doesn't totally add up. But that's the thing. I still would circle all the way to – because as the first thing you said on that list is still to me the most important thing, and it hasn't been as great. Although he's had some very good nights sprinkled in here lately, but it hasn't been the night after night what you're going to need from him to make a run. It's Saros.
Well, he's not in the zone right now. I don't think there's any question about that. I mean, I thought he was good Saturday. Two goals allowed against the highest scoring team in the NHL. You can't really ask for much more than that.
I'd also say you got to have the first one. You know, I agree. I mean, you give up two goals, man, and you lost.
So, I mean, he's going to have to, coming down the stretch here, like, he's got to get back to in the zone UC Saros. And the question is, can he do it? I don't know. I mean, We're running out of games here in the regular season. Got to get in the playoffs first, though.
And also, by the way, I thought Big Save Dave was pretty good yesterday.
Good. Yeah.
So Saros now, so 60, so he's got 60 starts. You got 10 games left. So you figure he's going to, let's see, how many back to you got a couple.
You got three
back to back. So
my bet is
he'll get 7 of the 10 starts, right?
My bet is he'll probably get more than that. There'll probably be a back to back coming out. I'm kind of surprised. You know, if he wasn't sick yesterday, I thought there was a chance they might go with him yesterday.
Okay.
He really didn't get that much work Saturday. But yes,
I mean, like, they may have to at the very end.
They may have to
go with him back to back. But you know, so can you? So you're going to get to 67 starts at least. And you know what's his high before this?
Like to the 30s,
50?
I think.
Is it the 30? Yeah, that's right. I thought he had more than that last year. No? Yeah, you're right. 35 starts last year. Yeah, the shortened season. The percentage of the season was bigger. But
yeah
that's so basically double what he's ever done in this league. And then you want him to, if you get in the playoffs, be great.
Yeah.
It's asking a lot.
That is. Cody on the text line says, when can we call up the kid who's got 55 goals in 58 games? He looks amazing. We're talking
Luke Evangelista.
Luke Evangelista.
Again? Yeah. Calm it down a little bit.
He's coming up this year.
Calm it down a little bit.
But, hey.
Eventually.
If you would like to go follow him this offseason and write something for The Athletic about how great he'll be, a la Eli Tolvanen,
you're
welcome to do so.
The Athletic curse. Yeah. Yeah.
Because you were the only one that ever said anything about Eli Tolvanen.
Yeah, exactly. It was just me who was saying Tolvanen was great.
You, Rex Road. I got a text that says, how long have the Red Wings been rebuilding?
It's been a while
now. At least 7 years, hasn't it?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Yeah, it's about right. I mean, basically, what was the last year they made the playoffs? 15, probably? Did they make it in 15? I think they did. I think they actually gave Chicago a little run in their series with them in 15.
I think
surprisingly.
It was 13.
That was 13?
I think it was. They may have made it the year after that, too. But I think it's been 14 or 15, 13 or 14 since they've made it.
No, I mean, they've been dog water for a long time. That's a great cautionary tale about if you want your team to rebuild.
Yeah.
But Stevie Y is going to turn around. Don't you worry. Stevie Y is getting it going, baby.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Busy, busy weekend in the world of college sports around here. Some Vols football. Tough news on the Vols basketball front, and baseball team just continues to roll out there east. Nice response from Vanderbilt as well. We'll get to all of it coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio here with you on this Monday morning. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Joe, another impressive weekend for Tennessee baseball. They sweep Missouri, although it was not easy. They were down in these games and had to fight back and win, and, you know, a little bit more of a challenge in terms of the pitching for Tennessee this weekend. But at the end of the day, they sweep Missouri. They win all three games. They are 12-0 in the SEC, 31-1 overall. So Tony Vitello and company obviously will keep their number one ranking over the weekend, but doing something that no team has ever done before, 12-0 start in the SEC. Pretty incredible.
12-0 start, yeah, never been done. I mean, 31-1 is ridiculous. And there's people starting to talk about who are the best college baseball teams ever. Long way to go with that, and you got to prove it when it matters the most. But, man, they just look airtight. They've got everything you need. And you're right, Missouri gave them a heck of a series, actually, for being swept. The Vols also did more of what the Vols do with celebrations and things. I feel like the biggest thing that's discussed about this team is fans of other teams saying that they're like ruining the game.
Yeah.
I mean, like was it Lipsius had the little touch the home plate with his finger? Ding.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I love that. Come on. It's like, I mean, they are kind of in your face and all that. But college base, it's not like that's completely, different from what a lot of college baseball teams do. Max, I'm going to bring you in on this one, too. The base Vols and their celebrations. Come on, Vandy guy. You tell me. Is it problematic?
I'm always pro celebration in baseball.
Okay.
No matter who it is.
We need more fun.
That to me was you not really answering the questions. Do you have a problem with the Tennessee Volunteers, Tony Vitello, the way they approach things?
No. Well, the team, no. Vitello doesn't need to argue every call, every game.
He is out there a lot.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. He's fiery.
He's a little fiery.
The team
Tony's
is fun.
Fiery.
The team is very fun.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Fair enough. Yeah, I just – but Arkansas fans, apparently, I guess that's the big thing
yeah.
now.
It's
the
oh, yeah.
Woosie Piggy Woosie Twitter Piggy? And yeah. Vol Twitter are just having quite – they're ruining the game.
I'm never going to call it Woo Pig Suey again, by the way. Never. Woosie Piggy.
Woosie Piggy is brilliant,
it's
actually.
It's actually a lot better.
Is that a Michelle brainchild?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, that's
what I thought. It's also a lot better.
Yes. And Dennis Burnside already made a graphic to go with it,
yes.
too.
Yes.
Woosie Piggy. But no, they're man, they are awfully good. It's going to be a fascinating run. They again, we've talked about the starting pitching last week. That was really the story, not the home run bats. It was really the story that the starting the rotation is really good. Now they got Tidwell going more.
At some point they're going to let Ben Joyce pitch. Like he keeps going out to warm up.
Did he not get in this weekend?
He did this weekend once, yeah. I think, but he's been in like one game the last two weekend series, and Vitello's like, yeah, he's going to get pretty mad at me.
Yeah. It's like, save him for a few weekends and hope he comes out at like 107 or something. You know,
just peppering it in there. Yeah.
They're really good. Vanderbilt, on the other hand, loses 2 out of 3.
Yeah. I thought Saturday
Auburn,
they figured it out.
They had the offensive eruption that they needed. Max can bring in on this one, too. Vanderbilt baseball, concern level? High, low, medium?
Definitely not high. Between low and medium, I would say. I don't know if it's a concern right now, but the sad part from the Vandy perspective right now is they may be playing themselves out of hosting a regional.
Yep.
I don't think they could possibly be worse than a 2 seed in a regional, which would mean you're 17 through 32 nationally. But you definitely want to host that regional. They've hosted the regional consistently since the last time they went on the road, which was 2018, and then they ended up hosting that Super with Mississippi State because of all that construction drama at the new dude. But I think the only concern is they're playing themselves out of hosting a regional. I say it every year, the only thing that matters with Vandy baseball is how they're playing in May. And it doesn't matter a ton until then, and you got to remember too, Joe, the best pitcher on the team has only pitched in 2 games, Nick Maldonado.
Yeah, no doubt. What about the lineup?
They'll find it. They will. It's still early. It really is.
I feel like Max is very not panicky today.
Yeah, he is.
I'm never panicky.
It's that early morning.
Very even keel.
Yeah.
But they're loaded. And they figured they got one Saturday. So you know how it goes. And winning, losing, there's still it's just a confidence thing in sports. Like the Vols are absolutely convinced they're going to win every game.
Yep.
And Vanderbilt baseball has had that aura a lot. And
well, they're 5-7 right now in the SEC.
Yeah.
I mean, they've lost 3 consecutive series. I mean, it's first off, you know, it's rare when they lose any series, much less 3 in a row like this. So, you know, I'm not concerned. I still think that it's Tim Corbin. They're going to figure it out coming down the stretch here. But I am kind of stunned that it's gone this way for them the last 3 weeks. Like, obviously, Tennessee is really good. So you can, as more time goes on, they're 31-1. You can start to understand that a little bit better. But the South Carolina and now the Auburn series have been a little bit concerning to me watching this team play.
Yeah, before they dropped the last 2 to South Carolina, I thought they were about as good. You know, like this could be as good a team as because they do have a lot of arms. I like their rotation. I like their potential. Just, you know, you're in the middle of finding it right now.
Tough news for the Vols basketball team. Looks like Brandon Huntley Hatfield has entered the NCAA transfer portal. So we talked about this last week as you kind of looked ahead. Kennedy Chandler announcing that he's declaring for the NBA draft. What would this Tennessee basketball team look like next year? And as far as the bigs are concerned, would they hang around? Who would still be there? You know, and I think you and I both would agree Huntley Hatfield maybe had the best potential out of all of them, but looks like He's not going to be there. He has entered the transfer portal. I guess there's always the chance that he could come back and take his name out of the portal and be back. But at this point, I would probably expect him to be gone. So what would that mean for Tennessee, Rick Barnes and company, in your mind, if indeed they do lose Brandon Huntley Hatfield to the transfer portal?
Yeah, well, first of all, I think he's definitely gone. And it's interesting because going through the NCAA tournament process with them and being around the team a lot, he was the one guy I noticed just almost just completely isolated from everybody else. Yeah, again, you got to take that all with a grain of salt, but he really was just sort of separate from the rest of the team in a lot of situations. And big-time recruit. I do think some of this could be as simple as, you know, Kamwa's coming back and Plausis is getting better and Adu's probably going to get better and you're not going to be a 34-minute-a-night guy. But still, I mean, you still would be a big, big key player for that team next year. And this is still a big loss for Tennessee because those other guys are good. And I'm interested with Adu what kind of leaps he can make on the offensive end next year. But Huntley Hatfield, with that size and that touch, he's a guy who there's a reason he's a top 30 player. And there's going to be a big, big battle to acquire his services now. So I think Barnes probably has to go back into the portal.
Yep. I would say that could be looking for a point guard and a big man in the portal this time around. So we'll see what happens on that front. Very quickly, big recruiting weekend for Tennessee as well. They had their five-star hanging around in Knoxville over the weekend. There were some rap videos coming out for some certain Vol fans that were in attendance as well. And big weekend for Josh Heupel and company. We'll see how it pays off coming down the stretch. But when you have your five-star quarterback, Nico Iamaleva, out there basically throwing balls around and trying to get receivers to come in and join him for next year's class, important weekend for Josh Heupel over the weekend.
Yeah, wearing those pajama pants.
That was something.
So I didn't know Andy Staples was going to be there. He was there and asked his dad, are you the $8 million player? He got a no comment. So it's very much being discussed.
It is.
The fact that he's there, he showed up, and he's trying to get these massive recruits. This is exactly what you want, not just to have a great player when you land someone like this, but to have like the top recruiter for your next class. It looks like he's very much embracing that, which could be big for Tennessee.
It very well could be. Got a texter on the text line that says, going back to Brandon Huntley Hatfield, I'd leave too if I'm on the bench and Plavsic is starting. 7 foot tall and struggles to grab a rebound is coming from a texter on the text line.
That's an interesting take because I think Plavsic has like 12 rebounds against Michigan. I thought was actually really good. Maybe he didn't have 12, but he actually had some.
He was good in that game. I do think there have been times where it's like, hey, dude, you're 7 foot, man.
Oh,
go get the ball.
No, well, before this year, I still would have said, like, don't ever play him a minute. He got a lot better, but I understand it. I understand the concern. I think that Huntley Hatfield, by the time he's done, is going to end up being a much better player than Plavsic.
I would agree.
He's going to be a much better player somewhere else.
Yes. We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. We'll get into the Titans next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.